Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
We're going through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4, and just let me remind you, it's been a couple of weeks. So we talked about verse 1 of Ephesians 4. We talked about the callings of God, and now God has certain callings on all of our lives. Well, he proceeds to go on in chapter 4, and we're just going to look at two verses tonight. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians 4. Now, the first word is the important word. Always. In other words, not most of the time, not some of the time, not when you feel like it, not when it's easy, always. Now, what we're going to be doing tonight is this. I'm going to take these words. We're just going to go through them because they're words we know, but I don't think we know. We know them, but do we apply them? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Okay, you ready to go? First word, humble. Humble. I'm just going to go through them. Now, humility is something that if you think you have it, you don't. Okay, if you think you are, you're not. And we always struggle with this word, I think, sometimes because we kind of confuse it with some other words. So let me just kind of give you a real working definition of humility. A willingness to submit. So that when someone is told to submit to someone, we won't mention any names, what's really being said is humble yourself. All right? So, a willingness to submit. Am I always willing to submit? It's not going to get any better as we go along, so don't be hoping that this is, no. Okay. Matthew 5:5. God blesses those who are humble, submissive. They'll inherit the whole earth. You see, everything in these words and everything Jesus taught is upside down. You know, the world says you inherit everything by power. God teaches you inherit everything by submission. It just goes against the grain. It goes against our mentality. It goes against our nature. It goes against everything we are. That's why his kingdom is a way of doing things. It's completely contrary to what we see, what we hear, and what we feel. Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Submit to one another, it says, right? Don't look out for your own interests. Take an interest in others too. Be willing to submit. Now, when we think of submission, we always think of the person who's arrogant and prideful. Oh, they think so much of themselves. But submission is also the other side of the scale. It's the person who thinks they're nothing. What's the problem with both these people? They're thinking too much of themselves in both cases. And in both cases, they're not willing to submit. James 4:6. He gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So if you submit, God gives you the power to deal with it. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So always be humble. Next word, gentle. Gentle. Another word here would be meekness. And let me give you a definition of this one. Having strength or power, but not needing to use it. I have all the power I need, I choose not to use it. I choose to be gentle. I choose not to be harsh. I choose not to be rough. I choose to be gentle. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you." Now notice what he says about himself. "I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke's easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I'm humble. Jesus tells us, we read of him, he says, "I don't do anything but what the Father tells me to do," correct? See, he submitted himself to the Father. And then when you find him dealing with people, he was gentle. Now, he had times where he had to be firm with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, but he was always gentle with people. 1 Peter 3:15, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." How do we respond to those who are ungodly, who don't care? Gentle. You don't get in a shouting match with them. Nobody wins when that happens. You gently explain who you are and what you stand for. How do we treat other people? Gentle. So, what does it say there? It begins with, always be humble and gentle. So we just dismiss and go work on those two for just the rest of the week, and we'll come back next week and pick up a couple more. I'm going to give you a big list here tonight. You know, it's going to be a lot to work on. And then he goes, okay, now be patient. Patient. Why is it we hate that word? And we do. Definition of patience: the ability to endure discomfort without fighting back. The ability to endure discomfort without getting upset. I won't ask for a show of hands. Long-suffering. Long-tempered. You have a long fuse. If you have a short fuse, that is nothing to brag about. Christians have a long fuse. And notice, always be patient. But our patience wears thin, doesn't it? Proverbs 16:32. "Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city." A patient person has self-control. An impatient person does not have self-control. Hebrews 10:35. "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all he has promised." As you and I live on this planet, waiting for our time when we go to be with the Lord, patience is a key element in your walk with God. Because have you ever noticed that God doesn't move as fast as you want him to? Have you ever noticed that you get impatient with him? And have you ever in your life ask God to help you with something and he doesn't move fast enough, and you've done something because you wanted to and thought you needed to and had to, and you went ahead and moved and regretted it later? We all have, haven't we? See, a patient person is a person who is willing to wait. Christians are called to be patient, to not be impatient with God or with others. Because people don't tend to move as fast as we want them to, do they? People don't tend to change as fast as we want them to, do they? That means you need to get a whip out and crack it and tell them to get moving or else, right? Well, Find me the scripture for that and we'll maybe throw it in, but I don't see it right now. Patient. Next, acceptance. Acceptance. Notice what he says there in that passage. Making allowances for each other's faults. Now, the amazing thing about us, and a little definition is this. You accept people as they are, not as you want them to be. You see, when it comes to dealing with people's faults, we tend to be blind to ours and have the great ability to see all of theirs. Well, I maybe have a few faults, but them, or my faults, I'm not that bad, but them, right? So what does God teach us to do? Why don't you just make allowances for each other? Overlook the issues. Now, that should be easy to do because in reality, most of the time, it's none of your business anyway. Right? You're not the judge. You're not the jury. You're not the one saying, I'm in power here and I'm in charge of you. And the problem is we all want to be somebody's boss. You know, and if nobody will vote us in, we elect ourselves. I just, you know, I can tell them what to do. Let me tell them. I mean, always overlook? Just let it go? Are you kidding me? Well, here's the deal. They're going to have to overlook yours. Romans 14:1, accept others' believers who are weak in the faith, new in the faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Boy, we good at arguing. Because after all, we're right. They're wrong. Don't do it. Just accept them. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. How does God accept you? Just as you are. And he has to overlook some faults, doesn't he? He loves you as you are. Now, I've said it often, I'll just say it again. He loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He will help you change. But he doesn't do it by getting in your face. And so we're told to always make allowances for each other's fault. Oh, but Pastor, somebody's doing something that's wrong. Okay, now let me make sure we understand something, because I've had people come to me. You know, somebody needs to confront them. Well, let's first decide something. Are they doing something that's very unscriptural, that's clear and cut and dried? Or are they doing something you don't approve of and don't like? Are they doing something the way you interpret scripture, you think it means this? Okay. Make allowances. Now, it's interesting to me, the word that comes next in this sentence that they're doing, love. Love. Now, well, I got to make allowances for their fault. I'll tolerate them. Love isn't about tolerant. Love is caring. Love is laying down a life. Love means I have more of an interest in them than I have in myself. God so loved that he gave. Love means that you care enough about other people that you care more about them than you care about you. Love is the parent who would much rather go through the difficulty than have their kids go through it. Right? You know, love other Christians, your brothers and sisters. I would rather go through the pain than saying, God, get them. I love them. Love, always. Always. If you don't do it always, you don't have it, right? 1 Peter 2:22. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I don't think we fully grasped what is very clear, and we all know it, but I don't think we fully understand it, because Jesus said, the greatest commandment, love him with a heart, mind, and soul, right? Second, as equal to it, right? Love others, just like you love you. Wow. Love covers. Love is willing to sacrifice. Love cares. Love wants that person not to have to go through the difficulty. It wants to protect. It forgives. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It always does what's right. Combine that with a little humility. Combine that with a gentle person. Combine that with patience and acceptance and love. Well, that's a great combination, isn't it? Well, from what the writer just said here, you and I are to do that when we feel like it. When it's easy. No, always. Always. Pastor, this is so hard. You're right. That's why the next word is there. Effort. Effort. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves. In other words, here's the definition of that. Work. You see, when you get married, you still have work to do. And if your marriage is going to work, you have to put forth effort. You see, a lot of people get married, young couples, they'll get married and they'll think, well, you know, we love each other, what more do we need? You know, we'll get married and live happily ever after. If you work at it, it doesn't just happen. You know, it's your responsibility to keep unity. You have to work at it. It doesn't just happen. Well, if I'll be the right Christian I need to be, and if you'll be the Christian you need to be, it'll be automatic. It will not. Why? Because we are two different people. We don't see things the same way. We don't think about the same way. We were raised differently. We hold certain things more important than the other person. Well, what am I supposed to do with all of that? Let it go. That's you. Don't try to make everybody else like that. God made us all different. We don't need another you. Lord knows one of you's enough. Okay? So, you know, work at this. No, Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. 2 Peter 3:14. So, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. Would you get along? He says, I want you to make every effort. The next word's united. United. I want you to be united in the Spirit. I want you to be united. I want you to work together. I want you to be as one. Jesus said, He and the Father are one. You and I are to be one in the Spirit. Because the same Spirit that lives in me as a Christian is the same Spirit that lives in you as a Christian. And we are united because of that Spirit. Now the problem is when we're dealing with other people, we never get to the Spirit. We get trapped by all the external junk. We allow the external things to bring division. We allow the external things to work against us. We allow the external things to separate. We allow all of that to be the primary rather than the secondary. And we forget to look on the inside. And if you look on the inside, the Spirit of God that lives in me lives in you. And we are one in spirit. Now, he's going to go on. Next week, we'll deal with that in a much bigger way. He's going to focus in on it. But you and I are to stay united. The enemy does everything he can to divide the church, the body of Christ. And you and I have to fight against that. And that's work. How do we do that? Always. You know the rest. Psalm 119, verse 79. Let me be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. John 17, 11. Notice Jesus is praying. Now I'm departing from the world. They're staying in the world. But I'm coming to you, Holy Father. You've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. Let me make sure you get this. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united as one, correct? They always agreed. They always worked together. Nothing pulled them apart. They're united. God in three persons, one. When you accept Christ as your Savior, there is now a fourth person added to that relationship. Now, here's the question. Are you going to stay united with them? They will always be united together. Our task is to stay united with them. Because if I always have to do these things, I need help. And I can't do it on my own. But if I stay united with them, I can do it. And so Jesus prays there. Notice we, you know, protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. That's a huge comparison. And so when I unite myself with Christ, I unite myself with the Father and the Son and the Spirit who are always together, working together. And I say, I want to join you. And they invite me to join them. But when I join them, little issue you need to settle, I don't get to be in charge. You see, there's times when for all of us, we like telling them what to do, don't we? Would you speed this up? Come on. You know, I'm getting impatient here. You need to do this now. You know, that person, the way they're acting, would you strike them or something? Would you do something? They're just irritating me to death. Come on, deal with them. God, you know what they're like, and you know they're sinning, and you know that's wrong, and oh, I can't tolerate that. God says, just keep loving them. Hard for us, isn't it? But he says, stay united in the Spirit. Lastly, peace. Binding yourselves together with peace. Now, Sunday I'm going to start a series on peace, the gift of peace. Basically, there's two kinds of peace. There's the peace that only God can give. It's the peace that's in us, that only he can give that. There's the other type of peace that is without, with each other, that you and I have to work at. That isn't always easy. But I understand that God calls us to live in peace. I won't get into this a lot because one of the Sundays I'm just going to deal with, what do you do when you're not at peace with people? We're going to talk about it. But bind yourself together in peace. Romans 12, 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Well, what about them? Hold it. That verse doesn't talk about them. That verse talks about you. You do all you can. 1 Peter 3:11, turn away from evil, do good, search for peace, and work to maintain it. Work to maintain it. Wow. So you could use these words as a little checklist. Maybe you could, I won't make you do it now because somebody would probably be reading over your shoulder and they'd be correcting you. I was going to tell you, check the ones that you do pretty good at. You know, I should do that and then let somebody else grade your paper, but we won't. But, you know, peace. Because always, right? Always. Now, this isn't a one-time shot that the writers give to us. This isn't something, well, Pastor, you just pulled these out and it's just here. No, it's not. It's all over the New Testament. This principle of living and how we're to live is everywhere. Now, why is it so hard? Because we live in a culture that's totally against this. But let's take culture out of it. Our nature is totally against this. It's not natural for us, but it is spiritual. And we're to be spiritual people. Here's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So we have our work cut out for us, don't we? Always. Always. It's not natural, but it's what God calls us to do. It's who he calls us to be. It's how he calls us to live. So as we enter in the holiday season, the roads get more crowded, the stores get more crowded, and we get more busy, and everything gets a little bit more on edge, I'm going to ask you just to remember one word. Always. Okay? Always. And you and I live this and put it into practice in our lives.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.